Hello and welcome to Glitchy Switch, the podcast all about what it feels like discovering you have ADHD as an adult. My name is Martin and I believe that no one deserves to live in shame in a world not designed for them. So in each episode, I'll pick off the kind of questions that go through your mind on the journey from curiosity to diagnosis. Whether you're on your own journey or supporting someone who is, I hope my own experiences might just help you. I know what it's like to have a busy life and a busy mind, so each episode lasts about as long as a cup of coffee, so you can easily fit it in and enjoy without draining too much energy. Last time we talked, I'd explained a little bit about how I'd realised my relationship with ADHD might be a lot more personal than I'd ever realised. And I decided that having done some research and lit a fire under myself, I really, really needed to find out for sure. This time we're going to talk a little bit about how you even go about getting diagnosed and the various different hurdles and decisions you have to make along the way in that process. When you start digging into these things, you soon work out there's a whole load of different things you have to consider. It's not just as simple as, you know, arranging an appointment with your GP or popping into the hospital or something like that. Only a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse can diagnose you, at least here in the UK. Your GP can refer you, so you can go and make an appointment with the GP. The GP can agree that it's very, very likely that you might have ADHD and you should go and get a formal diagnosis. But that comes with a very, very long waiting list. So in my part of the world, you were talking about 18 months to 2 years. In some parts of the UK at one time, people were being quoted 5 to 7 years. And whilst the situation wasn't life-threatening, having created an itch, you might want to say, there was no way I could leave it unscratched for that amount of time. One thing you can do, though, is to go and download a questionnaire for free. It's actually a World Health Organization questionnaire and a standard set of diagnostic questions. It's called the ASRS questionnaire. Go and Google it. You'll find it. You can get it from a few different places. I found it linked to one of the pages that I'd found before when I started reading around ADHD. Essentially, what you do is answer a whole bunch of questions on a scale. The scale then gives you a score, and then based on your score, it tells you whether you're likely to have ADHD or not. From memory, the version I used, which I think was an online one, suggested a score of 4 or above meant ADHD was likely, and mine popped out as something like 6. So very, very likely, which I wasn't really that surprised about having gone through it. And again, just as when I was doing my research before, not every question was an absolute match. It wasn't a slam dunk, but lots and lots of them triggered, you know, that feeling of recognition that I talked about before. And I felt all the more vindicated. And actually, the itch, to use the metaphor again, got all the more intense having gone through that process. So at least it seemed my hunch was well-founded. Around this time, and we're talking about the start of 2023, there was quite a lot of sort of chatter in the media about private ADHD clinics and how they were popping up all over the place. And questions were being asked about how thorough they were in diagnosing and then prescribing medication. The media sort of kerfuffle around it actually triggered two worries for me. Half expecting I would have to go private, as I mentioned about the NHS, the first worry I had was about whether I could find a psychiatrist that was reputable. You know, I don't really know what to look for. I'm the definition of a layperson in that world. The second worry was more about the hard work that potentially lay ahead in convincing other people that I wasn't bandwagon jumping or being conned by someone who saw me coming, you know, that kind of thing. Then it got worse because my brain, being an ADHD brain as I now know, kicked into overdrive. What would my wife think? What about my parents and work? You know, if I went and did this and told anyone, I mean, would I be finished professionally? Anyway, it being on the news all the time was the last thing I needed, and I could really have done without it. But even through all of that, it still felt like something that I really just needed to do. One thing I could do was at least speak to someone medically trained. I'm lucky that I have private healthcare with work, and it comes with a virtual GP service, which meant that I could actually get to someone fairly easily. It was the order of like a couple of days or something before I could get an appointment. By the point I'd spoken to the virtual GP, I'd sort of shared my suspicions with my wife, and she was amazing, which of course was one less thing to worry about. When I got to the appointment, I was already quite pumped up, I want to say, and rather defensive. And so what I'd done was sat down and written my explanation and my rationale for why I was there longhand. But as it transpired, I only got about a couple of minutes in and the GP stopped me and said, I definitely think you're onto something. You should definitely get a diagnosis. It turned out neurodiversity was a specialism of hers. Is it that obvious? I thought to myself. And I wasn't sure if I was reassured or not at that particular point. Anyway, in parallel, I had actually managed to get an audience with the local GP who, again, without hesitation, you know, listened to a similar sort of stream of consciousness from me and said, yeah, no problem at all. I'll write you a referral letter. But of course, with the rider, that the waiting lists were long. I did say to her I was thinking about a private diagnosis, which she agreed would be much quicker, but would mean if I was prescribed medication and took it, I would have to continue under the supervision of a private doctor with all of the, you know, associated costs of prescriptions and appointments, as well as the medication itself. So I'll leave you with that just as something to bear in mind, because if you do want to pursue medication, then there's a little bit more to it if you decide to sort of bear the cost and go private. To be honest, I wasn't actually that worried about being medicated. The thought of the potential relief actually was enough, and being able to better plan my life and work from a place of insult was kind of worth the time and the diagnosis alone. The added headspace, I think, was really what I was after at this stage. So I then braced myself and embarked on another Google search and started sifting through the reams and reams of private ADHD clinics that I found. I mean, I can actually see why the media had taken interest, as many of them offer a seemingly reasonable combination of quick turnarounds and care pathways after diagnosis. But the problem is there's not really anyone to guide you through what's legit and what's not. And I have to say, looking at some of them, glossy though they were and simple though it all sounded, I actually kind of found it a bit off-putting. I finally discovered a platform website called Augmentive that essentially pairs psychiatrists with patients. The nice thing there was that they named all the psychiatrists and there were ratings from previous patients, which was helpful. Because the psychiatrists and psychiatric nurses were named, I could turn Google stalker again and research the ones that I felt most comfortable with based on their bio on the site. By the way, diagnosis isn't a cheap business, and I soon discovered that a basic private diagnosis with a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse ranged from around £600 to about £1,000, maybe just over. Financially, it wasn't ideal timing, but you know what it's like. It's rare that we control the timetable of our lives. The professional I chose in the end not only appeared in a number of well-known and respected academic circles, but had also done things like TED Talks, which I found rather encouraging. He was also a really, really passionate advocate on LinkedIn and Instagram. So I kind of immediately felt comfortable that they weren't some kind of fly-by-night. I guess I just applied the same sort of rules that I'd apply to people in my own professional network if I was trying to look for sort of indicators of competence and trust and various other things. And seeing sort of videos and reading some of the papers was really useful. The other thing I should say is they came with a number of approvals from previous patients, which was obviously good. So that was a good sort of sense check as well. And I don't know, I just had a good sort of gut feeling. And price-wise, he wasn't the cheapest, but he wasn't the most expensive either. So he's kind of somewhere in the middle, which, again, felt about right. But then what did I know? By this point, I was feeling a bit nervous, but actually I was quite excited. And so I set up the appointment and I just started to ponder. And dared to dream is probably the wrong phrase to use, but certainly think about what would happen if I did have ADHD. And actually, I started to think a little bit more about, well, how would I feel if he turned around and said, no, actually, you don't qualify for this. Did I need anyone to tell me? There's a lot of people that actually say, yeah, I think I may have ADHD and probably exhibit a lot of the common traits, but they don't actually need to know. But as I said last time we spoke, I'd been reading very, very deeply about self-acceptance, which I think had become such a major hurdle that I sort of thought, no, I just need to know at this point. I don't know. I don't think I could not know. I think I'd forever be wondering. So my advice to you at this point is to follow your gut, follow your heart, go and get the diagnosis to put yourself out of your misery. And that's just how it happened. One evening I sat down, I found my chosen psychiatrist on the platform, looked at when he was available, and hand trembling slightly, which was quite weird. I always remember that. I made an appointment. I was going to get diagnosed. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. You can get in touch via glitchyswitchpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts and suggestions of things you'd like to hear about. You can also follow me on @glitchyswitchpodcast on Instagram for more on ADHD life and to find out what's coming next.